Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Today's passage portrays the righteous as having a positive influence on others, a secure future, and a joyful outlook. In contrast, the wicked are harmful to others. They will face God's judgment, and they have no real hope. Fearing the Lord leads to righteousness, but rejecting His ways yields wickedness. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 10, verse 11, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola concludes his discussion of this chapter.
The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life, refreshing, cleansing, a source of spiritual vitality. But violence, here it is again, covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strifes, but love covers all sins. Hatred stirs up strife. Proverbs 15:18 says, a wrathful man stirs up strife. Proverbs 28:25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. Strife should not be confused with principled disagreements or respectful arguments. This describes someone that is, there's something inside of them. Something inside of them. There's a root of contempt. There's a root of disdain. And they just have, go around, just, it seems like you would think that their gift, particularly in the body of Christ, is to stir up strife. That's all it's addressed. Paul addressed it in Corinth. Paul addressed it in Philippians. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And what is strife? It's rooted in contempt and disdain before people. Everything said in that type of a conflict is to belittle someone else or to win an argument. Ha ha, I got you, Roger. And let's not hide our head in the sand. You don't think that there are people that are like that in the church? Don't assume that everybody that sits in the church is born again and going to heaven. There's always a mixed multitude. You can tell a tree by its fruit. And some of the fruit is what comes out of their mouth. But love covers all sins. That's the gospel. 1 Peter 4:8 says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Proverbs 17, verse 9 says, he that covers a transgression seeks love, but he that repeats a matter separates very friends. Charles Spurgeon says, loving spirits will not take offense, but bear and forbear for Christ's sake. But evil-disposed persons make the smallest matter a ground of offense and are forever fanning the fires of enmity. The Reformation Study Bible says, loving one another is a Christian grace that seeks to promote peace rather than strife. We must learn to bear with others in patience and seek to stir up love and harmony with those in the family, the church, and society. Expressing that love requires control of the tongue. Verse 13, in the lips of him that has understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod, the rod, speaking of a stick that is used for discipline, is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction, or it actually reads, invites ruin. A wise man will preserve knowledge. The fool just blurts out anything that comes to their mind. The mouth of the foolish is a reoccurring theme in the book of Proverbs. And here that we learn, as we will learn in another proverb in a minute, that there are times when the wisest thing to do, if you don't know what to say, don't say anything. That's tough, isn't it? Don't you always feel, well, I've got to get this worded. No, you don't have to. So there's a lot that the Bible says about the tongue. The Bible talks about the controlled tongue, the caring tongue, the conniving tongue, the careless tongue, the backbiting tongue, the slanderous tongue. God's given this gift to us, this ability to speak words. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And I would imagine, I don't want to conjure up any bad thoughts, every one of us has been wounded terribly by people because of evil things that they've said. And we've all often been blessed. And that's just life. And even growing up loving to play baseball, I had horrible coaches and good coaches. Now, the good coach would discipline me, and he would tell me what I was doing wrong. But if I went 0 for 20, he would say, well, you're just in a little slump. Go get him, Ray. Go get him. Okay, get up there. Now, the bad coach, he'd say, you know, you bozo, you're not doing anything for this team. You're going to sit on the bench. But that good coach, yeah, I'm going to get it. Come on, buddy. Boom. Can you relate to that? Angel can. We got a good coach in heaven. His name is Jesus. The wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the fools is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. You see, wealth can sometimes protect people only for a while from trouble. But destruction, the destruction of the poor, is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. The labor of what? The righteous tends to life. The fruit of the wicked is sin. He is in the way of life that keeps instruction, but he that refuses reproof errs. That's a theme throughout Proverbs. You know, we are so sensitive, aren't we? We're so touchy. I mean, I am. We all are. You hurt my feelings. What does that mean? I mean, okay, let me back up here. I think we overstate that. When someone tells us something that maybe we don't want to hear, but we know we need to hear, say, oh, you hurt our feelings. You know, that person, if they speak to you in love, really loves you. It's a mistake not to listen to reproof. To not listen to reproof is another form of pride. Proverbs 6:23 says, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And I hate to say this, but getting close to being 75, I've gotten to a place where, you know what? I like it when people correct me. Thank you. Thank you. You know I'm not perfect, so help me out. Reproofs of instruction are a way of life. He that hides hatred with lying lips, and he that utters slander is a fool. In other words, the one who hides hatred while pretending to be your friend is nothing but a liar. But the one who slanders you behind your back proves that he is a fool, never to be trusted. To slander someone else, to repeat slander about someone else, is the work of a fool. And I've said it from this pulpit for almost four decades, and I will continue to say it. The fleshly, uncontrolled, carnal tongue has destroyed more churches than drug abuse, alcohol abuse, and smoking cigarettes combined. And we need to repent. People's lives have been ruined. Ministries have been ruined because of slander and gossip and backbiting. It's not of the Lord. No matter what the reason, it's not of the Lord. And it grieves the Spirit of God. The Life Application Bible says, by hating another person, you may become a liar or a fool. If you try to conceal your hatred, you end up lying. And if you slander the other person and are proven wrong, you are a fool. The only way out is to ask God to change your heart. Now, here's one. And the multitude of words, there ends not sin, but he that refrains his lips is wise. And so the more we speak, the more vulnerable we are to sin. And the more likely it is we'll say something that we wish we hadn't said. Now, anybody here ever say, you know, I wish I never said that? Anybody? How many times have you had a conflict with somebody and you've really laid into them, and then as soon as it's done, go, I should have never said it. Well, why did you? Why did I? Why do we think today, as old as we are, well, we've got to say it? No, you don't. Hush up. I said that in love. I meant it, yeah. I love this quote. It's better to keep your mouth shut and let people think you are a fool than to open up your mouth and remove all of their doubts. Isn't that a great one? I'll bet Pastor Ben's going to use that in India. I'll give it to you, Ben, on the plane. Yeah. James says, 1:26, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Oh, yeah, but they can repeat the catechism. I could care less. But they go to every church service. I could care less. Do they slander? Do they backbite? Do they whisper? Do they gossip? I don't care how holy. You could get a parakeet and teach them the Westminster Confession of Faith. He that has knowledge spares his words. It's better to say a few things that count than to just talk. Verse 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Okay, let me jump ahead here. We're a little time constrained. Verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. The lips of the righteous feed many. I think of Peter, who after he was restored by the Lord Jesus, remember when Jesus said to him, Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me? Do you agape me? Finally, do you phileo me? He goes, yes. He says, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. I love those words. He didn't say, Peter, do you remember every commandment that I gave you? Peter, are you able to recite the Sermon on the Mount? He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, because Peter made some serious sins. So did the other 11. Arguing about who's going to be the greatest. Can I sit at your right hand? Can I sit at your left hand? Peter, do you love me? I know you. He said, I know you love me. Here's how you showed you love me. You go and feed my sheep. And that's what we want to do here. You know that you don't have perfect pastors, don't you? Sometimes, not so much Pastor Ben, but Pastor Ray is a knucklehead on steroids. But in our hearts, we want to feed you. That's our desire. We want you to be the best fed and best loved sheep that we can possibly give you. The righteous feed many. That's why tonight, we're not talking about current events. That's things that we should be praying for. We're here to talk about things that will help us be lights and salt in a world that's gone mad. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Now, some of you may be saying, yeah, but Pastor Ray, did you see my bank account? He's not talking about a bank account. God has chosen the poor of this world, in James, rich in faith. Some of the godliest people, some of the saintliest people, some of the most generous people are people who don't have material riches. When Jesus was there on the Mount of Olives with Peter, James, and John, and they're watching people put money into the treasury, and then Jesus, they're watching, and Peter, James, and John, and they're watching them put the money in the treasury, and they're oh, wow, look at that, look at that. And then Jesus, look at that widow. She put in 2 pennies. She gave more than everyone else, because her giving was all of herself. I heard this story one time of a young boy at a church service, and they happened to be at a service where they were passing the collection plate. And so there it was the church service. They're passing the collection plate. And when the plate got in front of them, this young boy got out of the seat and he got in the plate. And the usher says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm giving myself totally to the Lord." You see, because some people, you can get, they'll give God their money, but it's almost like tipping him for the great job that he did last week. So here you get your 10%. It's far more valuable giving your heart to the Lord, right? The heart. The blessings of the Lord makes rich. He adds no sorrow with it. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding has wisdom. A fool is a person who finds his fun, his pleasure in doing wrong. Many of us, we were redeemed out of that kind of a lifestyle. You know, before, well, I don't want to, forget it. I don't want to bring you to your BC days. What will we do for fun tonight? I know what we'll do. Let's go, fill in the blank. Right? And all of that fun led us right to the cross of Calvary, and he forgave us. Proverbs 15:21, folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. So the Proverbs tells us this is how you should live if you want to be wise and upright, and this is how you shouldn't live unless you want to be poor and get yourself in trouble. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, those are godly desires. Did you ever have worldly desires? Did you ever desire, boy, you know, Lord, if I only had a huge yacht, how many people would I witness to going up and down the Erie Canal? Oh, God, if you would only bless me with a season's pass when I go to Emeritus, to every major league ballpark, oh, the people that I could witness to, Lord. Oh, Lord, if I had a fancier car, if I only had, he's talking about godly desires. You know, Lord, if you would just bless Pastor Ben and I with our own little jet so we could fly to Peru and fly to India. You know, these are godly desires. That's what he's talking about here. But the desires of the wicked, Job said, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. And the fears of the wicked, it's happening to them. Right now, all of these things that are happening. You see, they don't want God to rule, they want man to rule. And when man is ruling and when man's in control, you've got what's going on planet Earth. And I can guarantee they may not be saying it the way you and I are saying it, but there are some people that are saying they might not be born again. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Verse 25, as the whirlwind passes, so the wicked is no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. To trust a lazy person to get a job done is as irritating as smoke in your eyes and enjoyable as a toothache. Ever get a toothache and go, oh, boy, that feels really good. In other words, a loose translation is when you send a lazy person to do a task, that's just like sour vinegar and irritating smoke in your eyes. It smarts. It hurts. Because you know that you're just going to have to go behind him and do it right. I had a boss one time at the envelope factory. He used to say to me all the time, Raymond, if you can't do it right the first time, what makes you think you're going to have time to do it right the second time? Get it right the first time. Just do it. Verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Sin is detrimental to physical and spiritual health. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. With everything, all the things that are going on, it's horrible stuff. It grieves your heart. You can only take so much of it, right? But what a hope we have. That blessed hope, amen? That is what gets us up in the morning. That's what gets us through the day. because of who Christ is, the hope we have. We have hope. When someone now, when God calls someone home, I'll write to the family, your loved one has gone to heaven. That's the truth. Amen? That's the hope. When we die, we go to heaven. When our parents, our grandparents died, they went to heaven. Listen, they were with our folks, my mom and her dad, and we saw them go to heaven. We cried. It's bittersweet, but that's where we're going. We're going to heaven. Saints, you're going to heaven. If you're born again, you're going to heaven. You know that? Hallelujah. The hope. That's where we're going. That blessed hope. That hope that we have in Jesus Christ. He is our hope. He is our anchor. The way of the Lord, verse 29, is strength or a place of safety to the upright. But destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Galatians 6:8 says, he that sows to the flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. Last three verses, okay? The righteous will never be removed. Ooh. But the wicked shall not inherit the earth. It literally means the righteous will never stagger or be overthrown. The righteous will not be shaken. And everything that's happening in the world is shaking a lot of people up. Because love is almost depleted, godly love, there's wickedness. The love of many is waxing cold. We see a planet that is filled with anger, filled with hatred, filled with violence, filled with confusion. But don't let it overthrow you. Jesus says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We're the victorious army. So you can smile. Okay. We're the victorious army. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Expect it. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to be persecuted. Let me give you a little bit of insight that you already know. You know why? The one thing that the Apostle John and Jesus said would be the reason why you and I would be persecuted? Because we are followers of Christ. The world isn't going to hate you because you're good or because you're nice or because you're religious or because you're woke. The world is going to hate you because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. That's it. The world hates Jesus Christ. The Christ of the Bible, not the Christ of Woodstock. The first nonviolent revolutionary. The Christ of the Bible. Oh, he's so peaceful. Yeah, but he's also divisive. I didn't come to sow seed, a peace on it, but a sword. The gospel divides people, and people will hate you and I, and it's going to be more and more prevalent as his return gets closer because we follow him. The mouth of the just brings forth wisdom, but the froward tongue, that's the perverse tongue, the scheming tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaks frowardness. You know, God's word, it's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, right? God's word is a GPS for us. Proverbs is a practical GPS. When I first got saved, the two books that I loved reading were the Gospel of John and the book of Proverbs. And I would just go back and forth reading John and Proverbs, John and Proverbs, John and Proverbs. And I'd put passages from the Proverbs in the band room. I mean, I'm just born again, you know. The hand of the diligent, let's bear rule. Come on, guys, let's practice real hard. We'll get better. Well, we did get better. Because God's word, when you apply it, will work. It will work. And if you deny it, you'll suffer the consequences. That's basically what the Bible says. All right? Amen? Bless the Lord,
oh my soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.